When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, my friends. Jamie Kennedy here. Thank you to all the people in the channel. Thank you for all the new people coming to the channel. It's a very exciting time. I think we hit a new stride last week, and people are joining up. I went hard after a couple people last week. You know, I'm a very emotional guy. I don't like when people are terrible. I don't know. I do things and I forget, and then I remember what I was ranting about, and it's not good. It's, you know, people have to be sweet. We need people to be. The human condition is a very valuable thing. Life is very valuable, whether it's a human being or a butterfly, and we've lost all of this empathy. I love X because it's a free speech platform. I absolutely hate that I can see graphic porn on it. I don't even look for it. You can believe what you want. But you can click on something and it leads to something else, and comments now are just advertisements for OnlyFans, and that's okay. But then it just goes into a pretty graphic thing. I'm like, I haven't even had my coffee yet. Like, and I'm looking at this, and you know, that needs to be censored, in my opinion. You can do whatever you want, but let's just save a little bit of the intense stuff for the paywall. But what do I know? I'm 54 years old. And apparently I'm a prude. And the other thing, the violence. Violence is everywhere on these platforms. I try not to look at it. It's horrific. Some of it is educational. You see what's going on overseas. But some of it is... I talked about this before, but Faces at D*** was a very hard tape to get at the tape... at the video store in the early 80s, 40 years ago. And one of the craziest things you ever saw on Faces that was a guy falling off a building and he died. Oh, it was like in the X. It was in the X section. And like the guy rented it because I rented so many other movies, and he like, you know, I had another like kid who looked like he was 18 rented, who was like a sophomore who had a beard. And then the other one was a guy ate a monkey's brain. Which I hate even to say this, it's terrible. Like it was a way to do it. They did it over in some jungle, and it was like a ritual of they were eating a monkey. Like in, it's terrible. I don't even say it. And it was on Faces of D*** and it was like, oh, this is the ritual of the halakapa, whatever, you know. And it was and they ate like Hannibal Lecter. A poor monkey's brain as it was live, and the monkey couldn't feel. It was wild. And I was so freaked out off of that for like a year. I'm like, never get this tape again. And now I just feel like if you're a kid today, I'm sorry you have to see this shit, man. It was blocked from us, and I think it helped us because I don't think Gen Xers are pussies, but yet we're pushing back, and I don't know. It's just nuts. Violence, pushings, all the stabbings. High school violence, school violence, craziness. I should have her on, my sister, who is Heather Mazzarano. I would love to have her on. Don't send her this clip because she might go, well, Jamie's politics are much more intense than mine. But I love her, and she said something that really messed me up. I don't know. I'm saying too much. Because I don't want her to watch my channel if it's going to make her not like me. Because I don't know what her politics are. I have ideas. My politics is just I think about things. I don't, you know, I'm just open-minded. But she said something to me during on a panel, and I thought it was profound but intense. I do a joke when people come up to me at cons, and they're like, "My daughter absolutely loved you," and scream, and she should have said, "You should have never died." And I turn, and it's a 1-year-old. Like, just, I'm like, it's a, go watch a cartoon, like. And somebody asked a question, like, "Jamie, you do that a lot," and everyone laughs, and then they go, "But do you feel that horror should be hidden from kids?" And I said, "Yes, these movies are too much." And Heather said, "If you have to prepare for a school shooting, you can watch a horror movie." And, oh, I hated that answer, because she's right. She's right. But I hated it. But she's right. And that's what our world's become. But I didn't, I hated, I think they could push off innocence longer with that and with horror movies. But I don't know if you can push off innocence if you're in school now. I don't know. I don't remember school being this nuts. I see it on Twitter. Anyway, you get what I'm saying, right? So here's something I want to say is, I was going to post it, but let's do it here. It's, yesterday was 6 years of not having a drink of alcohol. Not sober, not California sober, not having a drip of any type of alcohol. I think I've smoked weed maybe 4 times in that time or had an edible. But, like, again, why did I do it? And what's my thought process on it? Well, I was doing a lot of things, very busy in my life. And then, you know, I had a lot of things bomb. And at the end of 2007, I was just bummed. So many things I tried just bombed or got canceled. And I was like, this town, man, not one, not two, but like 5 things, a movie, a series, something I produced, my documentary, like, you know, and they're good things. Like, Heckler's good, but it didn't get the release it should have. And my album didn't sell like it should have, and my special didn't get the playtime. I mean, I worked so hard on so much shit, and I was done. I'm like, this. I'll tell you a dark story one day. I stayed in a hotel for 10 days in New York City, and the things I did were sad. I had a huge room for nothing, and I was just so sad. I couldn't believe the room I had. It's a very old hotel, and it's haunted, and I, ew. I can't believe how I stayed there that long. Because Martha Stewart said, "I want to have you on my show," but it was a week out. And my publicist was like, "Just stay in New York and forget about all your problems." And all I did was just eat. Yeah. But I was so depressed. And I just started going on the road. And, you know, you start drinking and, you know. And I was on the road and just making money as a comedian and getting paid good money at colleges. And I'd go and do my set and afterwards drink and, you know, and party and go to a club and hang out at the, you know, next week go to another club and do my shows and party and hang out and all that. And it was completely numbing because I wasn't where I wanted to be. And then I got hired by Hollywood when I did Ghost Whisperer, which I'm very happy I did do it. When I took the job, I never thought I wanted to do that job, and it brought me a lot of things in my life, but personal and professional. But what I liked about it, I didn't want to take it. I was making a lot of money, but I was like, this is nothing to me. I'm just literally a cog in this machine. And I was making so much money, and my agent's like, it'll keep you relevant. You'll be on the show and you can make money. Look at it like a day job. And then when you really want, I wanted to create my own movies, you know, not be fourth lead on a Supernatural show. But I was so thankful that they had me. And, you know, my agent's like, it's good to run 5 years. You get a lot of money and, you know, and build up your war chest and then we'll sell a show and do all this stuff. So the idea was right. And I was really happy to do the show. And people love the show more than ever. It's a great show. And I was very fortunate to be a part of it. But at the time, I was like, all right, I'll just, you know, get this money. And I was buying cars and doing everything. But I was like, I'm not going to work hard anymore. All I'm going to do is just become a Hollywood whore. So all I wanted to do is just make money. And if you audition for pilots, I would get a pilot, get money. I audition for two lines in a movie, you know, hopefully I get it, you know. So I was doing game shows and all this stuff. Anyway, when you do all that stuff, you're taking meetings, you have a glass of wine. You're going to sushi for a creative meeting, you have sake. Oh, you're going for a Belgian hamburger, you have a Belgian beer, you know, Italian. So you're doing all this stuff, you're going to all these events, everything's great, and you're just knocking them back, knocking them back, knocking them back. And the alcohol is part of the food. By the way, you understand, I love Ghost Whisperer. What I was saying was I had no say in it. I literally showed up, did what I was told, and left. And I wasn't, you know, I'm used to being like doing everything myself. So I had to learn how to just be a team player. And that's why, but I started doing that for a good amount of time in my career. For the next 8 years, that's what I was doing, just taking jobs and getting paid and, you know, and just becoming a good little worker for the system. And then right before the pandemic, I started doing my own things again, and now I'm never going to go back. I will do things with people, but I have to have so much say, unless it's a polar bear of creativity where they're so rare that you just, like, listen to them. But, you know, there's only a few people in town like that. The rest stink. A lot of people are just making filler content, you know what I mean? How many Wes Cravens are there? How many Baz Luhrmanns are there? How many David O. Russells? I mean, I've already worked with most of them, you know. I'm not saying there's not young ones, but you know, the ability to make something great and then put it out there. Obviously, Greta Gerwig is one of them, and you know, there's new. But the ability to get your voice out there in a big way, in the old school way, is harder now. You can make something great. I heard Maxine is great. Maxine looks great. I don't know too many people have seen it. But again, that movie should be bigger. Hopefully it'll become a classic. Now, what am I trying to tell you? Booze is not booze. It's food. So it becomes part of the social circle. You wrap a project. Let's do some shots. You know, you have a meeting. Let's do this. You know, you have some success. Oh, it's a ABC party, smoke a cigar, you know, all that shit. Long story boring, I'm doing all that. First it was depression and escapism, then it was just like part of the social, and then I'm like, I do Lucifer. It all comes back to that. And I'm on Lucifer, and I'm playing like a rich guy. And the guy who's the star of Lucifer is so charming. Who made me feel so welcome. And the woman who is the co-star also just made me feel so welcome, so sweet, charming. And the whole cast and crew were really, but they, you know, it starts from the top. And we're filming in, I think, Mariah Carey's old house in Malibu. And it was like, had a Malibu's Most Wanted vibe of just like the spot of the spot. And I'm playing some rich asshole. And I got two hot chicks that like, I'm like banged. I'm like a porn producer. I don't know what the fuck I am. I forget. I have to watch the app again. And it was great because it was a hot show. It's a great show. The producer was Jerry Bruckheimer, who I'd worked with. No one made me jump. Roger cast me. They're just like, Jamie, you want to do this? It was great. And I do it. And I remember the women. This is before I had my girlfriend. And we would like talk and stuff. And you know, when you're on a set, you're just flirty, you know. And the girls were really pretty hot. And I remember, like, talking to them. And I just remember, like, thinking, wow, this character really, you know, has women. And then I saw the app, not when it came out. I saw it later on. And maybe when it came out. And I looked at myself, and I looked like a baked potato. And I was so fat, pasty, and blah, and like I had this hot black chick and this like hot Spanish chick, and I'm like, this guy would never get that. I would never get that if I wasn't famous right now. Like, I'm not saying I am getting it, but like, I look too much like a bowl of pasta. What am I doing? And like, I'm on Fox and I'm a big fat slob, and it's a guest spot, but it's like, are people seeing me because I'm a fat slob? Like, How maybe people don't want to cast me because I look like a bloated pig face. So that really made me go, maybe I should cut down on the booze. And then I got the movie, and it was in New Orleans, and they were paying me great money. And they said, you're going to come down here for 6 weeks, and you're going to stay in this amazing hotel. And every night we're going to do dinners and we're going to talk. And your character is an older guy who's going bald, which is like perfect for me. And he could be fat and not attractive. And I'm like, shit. So then I jumped in the first day and I'm eating po' boys and drinking wine. And I was plimpy on that. But that's okay. The character was. I wasn't trying to be sexy. I was trying to be like a guy in the late 60s who's eating a lot of carbs. And after that movie wrapped, and I went crazy in New Orleans, and I loved it. Beignets and vampire tours and doing my lines and hanging out and eating whatever. I didn't give a and it was great. I'd walk around at 4 in the morning, and everyone's like, you're crazy, but I don't know why. I just felt like safe. All that comes to, I saw the Lucifer. And I go, and I'm going to shoot my special November 1st. And I'm like, there's a chance we could sell this to Netflix. So I'm like, I got to look good. So I said, I'm going to stop drinking right now. And that was late, the last day in August or the day before. And I said, let me try to do a month. And then I said, another month. And I said, no, I'm going to do it for 3 months because I want to cut down my shit, my bloat. It changes everything. And as we've gotten older, and in the last 6 years and the pandemic and all the fucking shit, and the cultism and AI and all these things, I know you go there all over, but they're all kind of connected. And basically, in a nutshell, as you do it, it really is that one day at a time thing. You have to kind of break habits. And if you, the first thing that booze does, if you're a creative, is just kind of dampen that. Because you can just drink. And I remember I wanted to sleep sometimes, and I'd go to bed watching SportsCenter, and I have a Mexican Coke and a nice shot and a half of Hennessy. Was I an alcoholic? I don't think so, but that shit was good, and I would drink it and fall asleep. I just, because they said two drinks a day were good, so I was doing the two drinks a day. And then on the weekend, I would go a little off. Probably, maybe I'm an alcoholic, I don't know. But I'd drink anything except the hardest hard. But Hennessy or, you know, tequila. And then I'm like, I had only one kidney. My liver, you know, I want to make. I just woke up. I'm like, maybe this stuff isn't good. I'm like in my 40s now, late 40s here. So long story boring is one day turns into two. Two turns into three. Three turns into six. And you get 1 week. Then you get 2 weeks. And then you. And then you're like, well, I'm not having a Belgian beer. Maybe I won't eat those Belgian fries. I'll still have the hamburger. And then you're like, oh, going to sushi and not having sake was the weirdest thing. Weird. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to have sake. I'll have green tea. And then you're like, well, instead of, you know, this roll, I'll have it unagi style. And so the mayonnaise is not in this roll. And so you start doing these things and you start realizing that you're like, oh, this decision leads to this decision. And then it's like, well, I usually meet this person and I go and I listen to their problems about something. And, you know, there's too many seed oils. There's too many carbs in that place. There's booze. Limit that. So then it starts with food. It starts with booze. It goes to food. It goes to people. It goes to locations. It goes to ideas. It goes everywhere. So just that stopping will change you in multiple ways. I'm not saying you should do it. But here's it is with booze. With booze, it's, you know, I'm already crazy. I hate all this shit, neurodivergent. And on the spectrum and autism, I probably have all that shit. But we usually say, he's a little off. I'm a little off. Okay. I can walk around all day and I never remember drinking until high school. And I wouldn't have did it. It's only because it was like a peer thing. And then I came to LA and I never really drank. And then when I got successful, I started drinking again because it was like a celebration thing. And then you have money and stuff like that. But I used to have wine in my house. I never touched bottles. I get tons of bottles. I never drank them. So I don't think I am an alcoholic because I would have drank everything. That people give me tons of alcohol. Now I'm just like, somebody gives me a bottle of alcohol, I give it away. But here's what it is. The world is a drug. And I understand what booze does, but if you want to alter your mind, I think it's probably the worst thing besides the holes in your brain and the shit it does to your liver and kidneys and all that stuff and your heart. I got a heart problem. So I just don't think it's the best escapism. I also think weed gets a pass. There's too many potheads. It's like, stop with the weed and smoking and your lungs are shit. If you do the clean shit, if you do a super clean joint with a piece of paper and some fire once in a while, sure. But like the tar, you got to have that cleanest shit or like in a tube and that's clean. Okay. But there's a lot of potheads that also are completely useless. I think it's you that's good. And adjust to the world around you. Or I do think mushrooms. I think mushrooms are probably a very good thing for you. I haven't even done them yet in this whole new mushroom push. I haven't done them in 20 years, maybe. My chick, who is as clean as a bean, does these microdosing off my buddy, who's like a legit like doctor, and she. So it the tiniest bit, it changed her moods, it changes. And so I highly recommend. Alters your state, but not loopy. You're not seeing like rhinoceroses flying. So I personally think, here's what I think, because I said a lot of shit. Is so much of this shit is a social construct. Booze ain't good for you. It's to keep you down. If you believe that we are mass, but within our mass are vibrating things that literally make us vibrate. I know it's hard to explain what that is. Totally lowers you. There's nobody that's like doing great things as a drunk. I'm not saying you can't be a successful drunk, but I'm just saying it's like they're at their happiest. They're at their, as a drunk, as a dry drunk, as a wet drunk, it's a drunk. You're covered in poison, just booze and all of this shit. Look at it. There's all this culture now, drunk culture. And I was drunk and throwing up and a lot of frats and sororities. Listen, have fun. Do whatever you want to do. You could go through that phase, live that phase, do whatever you want. I'm saying from a clear eye mind, I see the shit and I'm like, the decisions that are being made, how you get fucked up, why is our culture like this? They want you. You would never do any of these things if you weren't drunk. That's what's crazy. Like, dance like you're drunk. You know, you don't have to be drunk to dance. Sing. You know, do things that are uncomfortable. Grab a microphone. Talking in front of people. I mean, I do probably, which is not for me, but it is, I guess, for a long time. But I'm used to it now. It's talking in front of people is probably the second scariest thing in the world, people say. So I literally don't. I can get on stage and not say something for 2 minutes and just look at people. But it's taken me a long time to work that muscle up. But I was always a natural ham. But I definitely was like scared of judgments and all that shit. And I think booze is the cover when the kid leaves. The kid will do stand up. The kid will dance. The kid will sing. The kid will finger paint. The kid will make, you know, try to cook. The kid will do it all. And then the adult comes in and judges, and that's when the adult needs to protect themselves so they fit in society like a square peg, and then they booze, and their booze is their escape, and then, oh, you can't judge me because I was on the drugs, and I had sex with you, but I was drunk, and I, you know, everything's, I was, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to say this as clearly as I can. I didn't mean to talk about it that much, but I think the sun can give you a great vibe. I think sitting in the sand with your feet in the sand and grounding to the earth, I know that sounds so corny. I think that charges you up. I think walking, you know, your 10,000 steps, eating the simplest foods, you know, one ingredient foods. Now, a lot of this sounds boring, you know, but, you know, it's not once you start feeling like vibrant and you are like, ooh, and your quest for knowledge is a drug. Your quest for feeling good is a drug. But I think that booze was put here to keep us dumb. And there's a lot of Instagram accounts that promote like getting drunk and stop and I consume them in certain ways. I really like them. In other ways, I think they're just pushing an idiotic society. There was a girl. This is crazy. And I already said dudes. Because I'm a man, I'm saying this about a woman because men were raised to revere women. So when they do something that I don't even hear a man say, that's what's shocking. That's what happens to me. Very popular podcast. They were to have a confessional booth, and I hate to say this, but this pretty woman was on there talking about when she was drunk and what she did on her date, and it was so graphic. And I'm like, and half of the comments were, your dad's proud, and the other half were like, she's so funny, she's so free. And I was like, but to me, that's an example of booze. Like, you really, I don't know. Being graphic is great in your private life, but it's not cute publicly. That's my opinion. But am I crazy? Be graphic all you want in your private life. Be a little cute. It's not cute. But people go, oh, they're making money and they're doing this. Sure, make money. Again, my question is, what's your soul worth? All right? You know, Liz Taylor, a lot of stuff written about her in tabloids. Always a class act. Maybe I'm an old lady. You know what I'm saying? Jacqueline Bisset, Audrey Hepburn, the girl from The Fall Guy. Shit. The craziest thing Pamela Anderson did was her sex tape, and that was a real leak. And that's tame compared to this stuff today. So, I don't know. And Playboy. They never showed innards. I don't know. That's my opinion. But the last thing I'm going to say about booze is I should react to that clip. If you keep talking about it, I might react to it. I think you're going to laugh at this. I think booze has a demonic entity to it in the sense that it's called spirits and you get intoxicated, toxins, toxic spirits. You're not of yourself. You get possessed by this sauce. You make decisions not of your own accord. Something is taken over you. You're low-key possessed. If you look at it like that, like a metaphor or an actual truth, it will make you really never want to try booze again. I'm not saying I won't, but I really have no desire. I have a bottle of Camus in there right now. I'm giving my buddy Jeff. It's $112. It's a beautiful wine. I don't want to break my spell. You know, my buddy used to do that. I had a very good buddy. I don't want to say his name, but his wife gave him permission to fool around on the road. And the fact that she did that, he never did it. Because he was like, I want my wife and my kids, and I don't want to hurt her. And she was like, if you have to, you have to. And she said, it's so cute. And I was like, dude, you can't. And he's like, I know. And like, I would check in with him and we'd be on the road. He'd be like 7 years, 8 years. And then he's like, I'm like, how you doing? He's like, I'm good. And I'm like, where are you at? He's like, I'm going on year 10. And he goes, I got a streak. And he never wanted to break his streak. It started out as one thing. And now it ended up, he's like, you know what? There's temptation out there. He's like, I don't want to break my streak. It's totally a cool thing. And it's amazing how he looked at it like that. Because he could get women. And it was a streak for him. And then it was the family and all that stuff. But it was beautiful. And I just think that's how I feel with booze. I don't want to cheat my health and my mind. And I think a lot of people are drinking less. I think it's a poison. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. Do whatever you want. I can't hang out with you if you're a lush. I can't talk to you if if you're after a show and you're drunk and annoying. I think clubs push this shit too much. I'm sorry, clubs. Too much booze, man. We got to change it. Like, give people what can sit there, by the way, and laugh. I hate that they have to be drunk. But I'm fine with a little bit of weed at these shows. I'm fine with mushrooms, you know. Some booze, tequila, they say is clean, but, you know. Actually, I think a lot of people come to the shows lately, like, looking out the store. I remember at the Comedy Store, I'm there tomorrow night, and a lot of people seem very clear-eyed, believe it or not. And that's like the most gangster club in history, you know, and they look very clean and healthy. There's some people drinking a tall shot, but so I think if that can happen there, it can happen anywhere. So I brought up the Venice Film Festival because it's like one of the most prestigious things in Hollywood, top three in terms of festivals. And they march out the white wolves of Hollywood, meaning the rarest of rare, you know, movie star Brad Pitt, George Clooney, and, you know, prestigious movies. And it's Vanity Fair and it's all that stuff. And it's, you know, something that I have aspired to for my whole life, to be accepted by that. And I'm not saying I still don't want it, but every day, the more I hear and feel things, the more I don't care. And I really am into doing this content, my online content. Doesn't mean I still can't be a star, just a different medium. But a classic movie star is always the way, and in my opinion. So I talked to my buddy and he had a good take. I'm like, dude, is classic Hollywood alive and well, or is it dying and these are just last remnants? And he says, I think they put out these two, meaning Brad Pitt and George Clooney, because they're doing everything to the public to say, hey, we are still alive and well. But if you look at this summer, only a handful of movies did good. The rest of them did not. I think the consumers are like, this is what I'm going to spend my money on. This is what I'm not. So he's like, they're sending out the last of the big guns to try to keep this thing relevant. Cause I'm like, I'm hearing a lot about this Venice Film Festival, but I'm also hearing about this squabble on TikTok with a girl who tried to steal this other girl's boyfriend. And then the other girl denied it. And it sounds stupid, but I wasn't even in the circle. And so I heard about that. I heard about that almost more than I heard about George Clooney and Brad Pitt. Obviously Hollywood is Hollywood and they have that machine and they put out, you know, two classic, legendary generational movie stars. But then, and I talked about how, you know, I was on another pod, hasn't come out yet. And I talked, one of the coolest things I ever did. And I talked about having breakfast with George Clooney and, how he, you know, is a movie star and, you know, and how he was so effortless and how he is. I know there's Quentin is saying some stuff or whatever. I think they had something, but it's not my, I'm not involved with that. You know, everybody can do whatever they want. But then, George said this thing today, his politics are different. And I have to react to it because I don't know. I'm not scared. Okay. So he's at the Venice Film Festival. I think someone asked.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Asked him a question. Scared. Okay, so he's at the Venice Film Festival. I think someone asked him a question.
The person who should be applauded is the president who did the most selfless thing that anybody's done since George Washington. And that's true.
And now, very right there, it's a very packed room. I'm just letting you know, it's very limited applause. Now, they are in Italy. Pitt ain't saying shit. Pitt ain't saying shit.
And so anybody, all the machinations that got us there, that's all, none of that's going to be remembered. And it should.
My first comment is, George, who says the guy made this decision? He doesn't know where the toilet is. If you don't think that they got into a back room and said, Joe, you got to go. You're a smart guy. There's no way he made that decision willingly. He was coerced. He should have stepped aside, which he did, But I don't think that he was like, I gotta go. I know. So, you know, I defend you when people say you're an asset of the deep state and this is not helping.
What should be remembered is the selfless act of someone who, you know, it's very hard to let go of power. You know, we know.
Great statement. Agree with you.
That we've seen it, you know, all around the world. And for someone to say, I think there's a better way forward, that's all the credit goes to him. And that's really the truth. And all the rest of it will be long gone and forgotten. And so I'm just very proud of where we are in the state of the world right now, which I think many people are surprised by.
Yeah, I don't think people are excited at all about the state of the world right now. I mean, tell me you have a $500 million without telling me. Tell me you live in a bubble without you telling me. I mean, dude, I'm a multimillionaire. I'm very fortunate, and I see the hell that people are going through. I feel the hell. You know, a lot of people say that high-end actors and high-end athletes are all assets, and meaning they do the bidding, and there's no way if I were to sit there and talk to George that he could actually say Biden's a cognizant state of mind. There's just no way. He's such a smart guy. So I don't know why he's saying that. But I do have a funny story. This is crazy. This is a secondhand story. I want to hope it's true. He was in a casino, a very high-end casino. My buddy was there with one of the owners of the casino. And the casino owner was complaining about how Obama was killing him on taxes. And the rumor, this is all hearsay, this is all for entertainment, is that George said, he's my friend! And that the casino owner said, well, your friend's f***ing me in the taxes, or something like that. And I'm not going to name the names, but it's legend. My buddy, you know, again, this is just entertainment. He swears by this story, and my buddy's just connected, you know, Oscar Goodman, he can get him on the number any second. He can get any casino owner with a text. I've been in a lot of situations with very high-end casino owners because of my buddy. As much as I want to take credit for it, it's my buddy. My fame never got me where he got me in the casino world. I'm not saying Hollywood, but in the casino world, my buddy is, yeah. And we fight, but he tells crazy funny stories. So if that's true, you know, George is pretty much a lifelong liberal, but who, you know, you can't look at inflation and you can't look at the homelessness. You can't look at all these different things and can't give something to I don't think anything's going to be forgotten. I think they're going to go, what the f*** are we doing? And it would behoove me not to talk about that because he's a legend and I don't want to piss him off. So I know you've seen this. I'm just going to play it and then I'm going to. So look, you've heard about this Venezuelan gangs. This is something that's being warned about with the border, Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, Trump, all these people that are apparently right-wing lunatics talking about this. And now it's happening in the small town of Aurora, which I know. And the story is that the gang came in, you see from that video, no one should walk in a hallway with any type of weapon, let alone army weapons. And they commandeered the building. They took it out. They kicked everybody out. They're collecting the rents. And now they have another building. There's also a rumor of Dallas. Apparently, the cops couldn't do nothing. The National Guard. I don't know. The only reason this story is everywhere is because online is reporting it. No one's reporting it in the news. And this is the thing of, you know, this is the conspiracy theory, is that the Democrats open up the borders so they can get people to vote the way they want, and they'll take a vote from anyone. And they want to cause chaos. And also, you know, Republicans believe in family, the church, work hard, pay your taxes. And among their, they have their problems. And the Democrats are like, hey, free love, free money, everyone is accepted. Well, you know, there are bad people. So I posted this thing about how California, I don't know if it's passed, it's very close, and a lot of people push back on it who absolutely are nuts, saying that illegal immigrants could get a loan or whatever for $150,000 to make their first purchase of a house. Now, all the specifics I don't have. I'm not even saying it's passed. I'm, you know, Bill Maher talked about it. A lot of other people much more reputable than me have talked about it. And basically, you know, and people are like, you're putting out misinformation. Stop spreading hate. Spreading hate? Like, look, we're all immigrants, okay? I'm an immigrant. I just happen to be born here. My mother happened to be born here. Her mother came on the boat. You know, there wasn't enough room in New York, so we went down to Philly. They came on the boat. My dad's parents came on the boat. So there's Germany over here. There's Europe over here. You know, I'm born here, but my lineage is not from here. I mean, this place belongs to Littlefeather. We know this, okay? So well, that's what we were told. And so it was taken. This country was taken over, okay? Not by the indigenous people. They had it and it was taken over, apparently. Well, that's what I was raised as. I don't know the whole, I wasn't there. So the bottom line is, we're a melting pot. It's great. We got Gentiles, gay, straight, trans, non-binary, white, black, Mongolian, Chinese, Latin, whatever you want, baby, we got it. And that's good. That's why America's great. New York is great. You know, that's to me the ultimate melting pot. LA's pretty great too in terms of that. But I think New York to me was the super melting pot. Come over here. Visit. Do whatever you want. Just go through the proper machinations. Or else we're looking at 1979 Miami. You're looking at Scarface as a documentary, which that was. They unloaded the jails, put them on a boat 90 miles away. Cubans, you know, those dudes didn't give a Miami is born on literally blood. Blood and coke. That town that you enjoy is energy in that town. Why it gets weird there is because it's literally blood money. That was a sleepy little retirement town. It was cool. You could go to Bodega. You can go to Sandwicheria. I'm not saying I don't like Miami, but literally the energies on which it was built on is murder and drugs. You can look that up. And I'm not saying I don't like it, but you have to look at the history. So we have people coming in this country. Okay. I haven't, you know, they just should be documented. And if you're going to help them, they have to get in line, right? Why wouldn't you help? Okay, let's just go through the list of who you could help first. Why not help the homeless? Okay. $24 billion was spent this year. They can't say where I went in California, and homelessness went up. Why not help vets? Okay. I don't know what's number one, but right now off the top of my head, vets. Vets. Veterans should get everything first. Veterans. Okay. Homeless. Okay. Disabled people. Poor people. Shit. I would even put people who, because they've changed their gender or different things and they feel like they don't fit in and right now they're having a little bit of a problem, like, they should get a loan. You know what I'm saying? I would say the gays, but the gays are killing it. They have the most expensive houses. They're smart. I don't know. Inner city black people, inner city Latin. Anyway, there's about 8 or 9, you know, the hardworking immigrants that come here that are documented. There's like 9 or 10 groups I would, if I were running this joint, that I would say, all right, let's put the oppression matrix up and let's put the hard work matrix up and then the likability matrix and the who deserves it. And the first thing is you can't give out money when you got a dirty bedroom. Like, you're inviting people over to the house and the kitchen has got dishes in it. The bedroom is all messy. The living room needs to be vacuumed. I mean, our house is f***ed up right now. So we have to clean up the people in the house, get some of the party goers out, adjust some of the neighbors, and then we'll let new people in, but they got to be documented. That's just number one. If they're not documented, I'm not even saying they can be in the process of it, but I can think of 9 or 10 groups before an undocumented illegal comes into this country. Or else just don't have borders and just all bets are off and just put up, you know, like we have right now is like people are popping up taco stands everywhere and it's an amazing street meat, but let's just put up monkey brains and start doing that and eating dead ducks hanging from a window on the street. Let's just make it. Let's just go all the way, baby. Let's make this shit downtown Manila. You know, you been? I have. Let's do that. You been in the Manila? Let's make this downtown Yerevan. Let's go there. I've been there. Let's make it wild. You want to go there? I mean, because that's what it is. This isn't racism. This isn't classism. This is common senseism. So it's everyone should come in. This ain't my country. I'm just part of it. But I pay my taxes. I have my social security number. I did everything correctly. I know many people that have become citizens. My boy Stu, okay, let's talk about that, right? My boy Stu, who is a kid actor since he's 5 years old, some legendary commercials from Oscar Mayer and to Care Bear cartoons, The Magic Bus, to Donnie Darko, to tons of movies. He was an asset to America because he was part of some big pop culture things. He just got his citizenship in his mid-40s. It took him forever, and he's a Canadian, and he's harmless. He's a little nebbishy Jewish guy who can wrap his face off, and he's a funny actor. So it took him like 40 years, and he's in tons of TV shows. Boy, we're going to let some dude down there from Guadalajara, you know, with a machete, like, come on in, and not only just come on in, but here's a loan. Pay it back when you can, like when, you know, the dude from the Iraq war sitting on the street sniffing glue, or homie in Compton, you know, has a legacy of, you know, broken family, you know, and he's trying to escape a gang, and or, you know, people that live by so hardworking Mexicans that, you know, are working every day but trying to get their pay. I mean, come on, man. Like, am I crazy? Come on, man. Like, if you don't see that logic, then just don't watch any of this shit. All right, so let's listen to this.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
And he was basically saying there's no guarantee to free speech on hate speech or misinformation. So, okay, that's dangerous. This guy said this. Okay, so this is America. What's the First Amendment? Is that it? Free speech? The Second Amendment's the gun? I don't know. Let's just look up the amendments. What are the amendments? The First Amendment is... The First Amendment... Well, respecting an establishment of religion, prohibiting free exercise of religion, free speech, free press, free assembly. Okay, a lot of frees. He says there shouldn't be free speech on something that is misinformation or hate speech. All right, let's be really simple here, okay? We all know what Big Pharma did. We all know what people were saying pro, and we all know what people were saying against. Anyone who went against it was considered misinformation when there's been numerous studies and numerous things. So... that's null and void right there, but let's go simpler. Are you ready? Misinformation. Okay. If I was a man Okay. And let's say there's a man and he's 6'4" and he's wearing a Jill Sander sundress, and he's got an Hermes bag, and he's got a pair of Louboutins, and he lifts up his skirt, and he's got an 11-inch hog, okay? Beautiful hog, 11-inch semi, not even hard, okay? And he said, "I'm a woman," and someone said, "No, you're not," which is misinformation, technically. I'm being technical now, because if he said, "I feel like a woman, I want to be a woman, I know I got the parts that stereotypically are a man, but I'm going to become a woman, whether I get this taken off or not, I don't know." And if he said, "I'm going to live my life that way, and I'm going to do that, I'm going to tape it back and never got any surgery." By the way, that's his choice. But would it be misinformation to say you have an 11-inch dong? Because he feels that he's one way. I'm not saying he's not going to live his life like that. And I'm not saying he has to be so extreme as to remove that organ. I don't think he should. But he has to do what he wants to do. But technically, medically, that would not be misinformation. That would be what we were all raised. A dong, let alone an 11-inch dong, is male. That's it. It's okay. There's a lot of different things now, but that's how we were, and that's what's medically diagnosed as. So then, on top of that, me just bringing that up right now and me pushing back on this belief system and me not just accepting that if this person said, "Hey, I'm a woman," and I said, "You are, you identify, you look like you're going in that direction, but you still have an 11-inch dong." And if they said, "No, I'm a woman," right now, by me saying this right now, as we're here, this could be considered hate speech. And that is the psychoses of which we are dealing with, right? So that is not hate speech, and that is not misinformation. Do I want this person to live their best lives? Of course. Should they be able to? Of course. Am I allowed to say those things? I should be able to without judging. I don't want to be an asshole. If someone's unhappy in their carriage, they should adjust it however they want. It's their body, their choice, literally. But it doesn't mean that we can't gauge it against something we were raised with and then say, "Well, it was this. It might be different now, but it was this," and just deem that misinformation and hate speech. So what he's saying is, you know, there was no bad voting machines, if there's one bad voting machine, you can consider the election being partially tampered with, which people could then lead to saying stolen. I'm not saying it was, but you could say that. Well, if you said that, that's misinformation. But if there's one faulty voting machine, you know, the mainstream media tonight will tell you that Kamala's ahead. Well, Mark Cuban just did a poll and Trump won 69-31 on Mark Cuban, who's a liberal. I think he's a liberal. So what I'm trying to say is the free speech shit and the hate speech shit and the misinformation shit, you got to stop those words. I'm scared to say certain things, but you know what hate speech is. Just no irony, ugliness towards another fellow human being. As simple as "you look fat" to much deeper and darker things. I can understand what hate speech is. I think we all know what hate speech is. But if you said someone's pleasantly plump, that's not hate speech. Okay? So I guess we all have to have a universal line of where we're at. People can say, "Hey, Jamie, you're going bald in the back of your head." And I could say, "That's hair hate." Or I could just say, "Why do you hate me so much?" Like, I mean, I cannot deny that. What if they called me I was wearing a scalp yarmulke? Is that hate speech or is that true? You know, is saying someone is a dirty Jew, that would be hate speech. But saying, "Oh, that's a half a hat." Half a hat is what dudes in Philly used to call, because they would only wear a half a hat. It was this part with no brim. Now, can I put that out? It's funny, right? Saying one thing is not funny. Half a hat is funny. Is that hate speech? Where are we at here? You know what I mean? I could go down the rabbit hole here. Is lesbian bad? Lesbies? Can't say lesbies anymore, but can you say a couple of doorbell ringers? Because that's what the top part of the vagine looks like, and they poke at it. All right. I'm losing you. But what I'm trying to say is hate speech shouldn't be tolerated, but you have to decide what hate speech is. And unless we have the grand marshal of hate speech and we all have to agree on what the word is, I think we all can agree that the N-word ain't good, even though it's said every minute, every second of every day by so many people, literally by black people say it. They say it's their word. Whitey better not say that. Whitey's made mistakes. There's a lot of blonde girls right now on TikTok that said it, that are going down, but apparently trying to save a brand deal. I think we could say that is hate speech. I think we could say F word towards our gay brethren is hate speech. But that used to be, you know, there's a lot of gay guys that say it and say they're not going to give that word up. You know, I think words towards our Jewish brethren are hate speech. You know, words I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say them. There's nothing really hateful you can say about a white guy, so call it cracker. But, you know, it's funny. Cracker, saltine, I'm a cracker. You cracker. So look, there's a lot of videos of Kamala and him. Let me just say this about this, and I guess because I'm going to run out of tape here, is that, have you been to Minnesota recently? Downtown Minnesota is becoming like every other city in the sense where there's a ton of for lease places and super high-end technological buildings. So they give you these velvet prisons. You will own nothing and be happy, you know that saying, and it's happening everywhere. And Minnesota's no different, where it's the NWO, and that's what it is. And they're revamping it, and there's a lot of amazing places to eat. There's a lot of amazing buildings. There's great sports. But we all know what happened there in 2020. And you know what happened to me last year when I did my show there, and I was not only kicked out of a hotel after a show, I was not only just not talked to, I was kicked out, and not only that, the cops were called on me. Minnesota, parts of it are an absolute shithole. And I have no problem saying that. There's a lot of great actors that come from there. There's a lot of funny-ass people that come from there. You know who they are, and I love them. But in private, I'd really like to ask them what they think. I'm sure they're not going to say it publicly. But Minnesota is a psycho den, okay? Let's be real. The place, the cops are scared to do anything because of 2020. And anybody who remotely pushes back on any group that might be tiniest of considered oppressed, you are the devil, the villain, everything. So that whole night that happened to me, yeah, I was emotional. Yeah, I was probably out of line. I didn't say, do you know who I am? I never would say that in my whole life. I wouldn't say any of that. There was Taylor Swift's dick, like a but not me. Oh, because she's bigger. I get it. But you obviously suck celebrity dick. Just I wasn't a big enough celebrity for you. So I know they play the game. But the point is, everyone that threw me out of that hotel, I saw a couple people with, I love nose rings. Shit, I'll even give you an eyebrow ring. But it's that ring that goes from here to here. You know what that ring is. That ring is, mommy and daddy didn't understand me. And I'm going to, that's a lash out ring. Mommy and daddy, look at me. I'm a bull. I'm toro, the bull. I'm a bull. You can get a nose ring. It's so cute. You get tattoos. It could be cute. Although they're not healthy for you. But if you're sticker booking it up and you got that middle ring, that's mommy and daddy. Mommy and daddy weren't there. No, there's nothing. That middle thing, it's the same shit you see when you see a real estate agent. And you see, look, do you think they're all classy, right? You see like a female real estate agent. She's got it all together. Her manicures and eyebrow blades and all this shit, and you go, oh my god, this is like a super professional woman, and then you catch her with that dirty ankle tattoo just hidden just enough. When you see an ankle tattoo on a real estate agent, you know she spent some time on the pole. And I'm talking about the brass one. Yeah, yeah. That ankle tattoo is what's up, baby. You know what's up. And if I'm a real estate agent, two things. If I wanted to be taken seriously, I would have put a stocking over that. Or it's a signal to be like, you want to close the deal? That's how we close. By the way, you think I'm joking? Go to Miami. You hear this shit. They close the deal no matter how they need to close the deal. That is a rumor. So maybe, because that, think about where the placement is on the tattoo, the ankle, where the ankle goes during certain times of the night. Would you see that? You understand what I'm saying? So if you got a ankle tattoo and you're a real estate agent, I will negotiate your points down so quickly because I know you're going to be a hustler, but I already know your past, okay? I know it. Just like if you see a girl with the dumb Asian letters, you already know their hat. Broken hippie. I can tell you all, but this ring of Toro, you know the drill. Or the girl with the weird tattoo right here with a little bit of words like, I'm going to take a chance, but I'm not going to let too many people see it. It's all these games, you see. Or the dude with the too many sticker books, you know, and it's not really a sleeve properly. So that night when I was thrown out, to me, was the, that was the representation of Minnesota. And a stand-up comedian who did two sold-out shows in a suburb and did meet and greets and people that were came to the show and some people that were part of the community and, you know, from ambulance drivers to police to just people that wanted to see a show. And for me, having a post-show, a little bit of a meltdown, not terrible, just a little emo, and just the fact that they let a guy with keys with no social awareness and just a by-the-book veteran lifer of that, and how they all took his side and no one said, all right, it's Jamie Kennedy. He's a little psycho right now. He did the shows. Jamie, it's not our policy. Sorry, dude. But to call the cops on me, okay, and then for the meets the cops, and the cops goes, we're not going to hear it. Get out. And I'm like, but you can't. And the cop knew me because he was looking at me and I know the look. And I'm like, but can I just tell you? He goes, no, I'm not listening to you. Get out. When that happened, I'm like, you can take that city. Good luck. Good luck. Because I've done way worse in Vegas. And guess what? They're there. You don't think I get a talking to? Shit. The shit I did in Vegas one time, I wasn't totally wrong, but the LVPD said, Jamie, it's going to go down this way or this way. And I said, what do I got to do? And he goes, do this, go over there and do this, swallow your pride and shut up and do this. I don't want to do the paperwork and you don't want to spend the night. And I said, okay. And the cop pulled me aside and was cool. And we figured it out, and I went and did what I had to do to not piss off this person. Cop was cool. They didn't kick me out. The Cosmo. Cosmo's like, dude, we love you here, but you're being a psycho. Like, chill out. You're not going to be able to come here anymore. Like, we talked about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus, give me a break, you know? You know, if you're on a set, they're like, hey, man, chill the fuck out. You know, this director's getting annoyed with you, dude. It's not... There's no cold. Minnesota acted like they don't know how to deal with people, especially in a hotel. That's what you do. Like, so I got that vibe from that whole city because I was around. They are like, let's listen to all the psychos. Let's not use rationality or reason here. And I've talked to a lot of people from Minnesota, and they're like, yeah, it's gone down the shitter. So what I'm trying to say is that guy who's talking about this is Kamala's first pick. And, yeah. Do I want America to be like Minnesota? No way. No way. So, no. And just because I'm not saying I want to vote that way doesn't mean I'm voting the other way. I'm feeling it out. But clearly, I lean more to the right than the left, even though I believe I'm still an independent centrist. But the minute you question shit, people are trying to say I'm this, and I'm like, no, I'm just questioning things. So check this out. What state would I like the place to be like? I don't know at this point. I mean, I like Arizona, but then they're going to call me a super right wing, right? Like, I like LA, but not a lot of stuff that's happening right now. What's Vegas? I like Florida. I like Florida. Florida gets it. There's pride there. They take care of their property. A lot of the bills that you're saying are these wildly Christian bills. They're not. They're not trying to take away your rights. They're not trying to take away your... I did a whole thing about... It should be legal up until a certain amount of time. But the minute the fetus gets a driver's license, we need to not let that happen, okay? So, listen, I could talk all night. It is what it is. I don't even know what this episode was about. Be safe out there. Psychos are everywhere. Keep an open mind, man. No bullshit. I'm just trying to talk to you real. No bullshit. Keep an open mind. Question absolutely everything. And don't be offended, really. Lead with trying to be cool. Go to my website, see everything I do. Peace.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.